Be seated. It's striking to me. I love the opportunity to sing in the context of thinking about that moment and that place and that time, and to know that this little baby is the King of all glory, over all the universe, over every king, a name above every name. The contrast is stunning, astonishing, beautiful, majestic, awesome. Wow, just incredible. And it's wonderful to be able to sing to him with you and knowing that he's here this morning. I was thinking a little bit about how this time of year, there are a lot of, you know, special programs, and obviously we have you know, all of the nativity scenes are all around. Maybe you have that in your house, or maybe out front in your yard. I don't know if you have that or not. I won't comment beyond that, I guess. But a lot of people have them on their tables. Or maybe you went to a Christmas play. Sometimes there's like live nativity scenes around. Maybe you drove through and you saw some of the animals and everyone dressed up. There's characters in every one of them, of course. And we all know what to expect in some of them for sure. There's essential characters that are in every play. I don't know if you've ever been in a Christmas play. I have been in Christmas plays before. And for me, I was always a secondary character for sure. Maybe one that just sort of stood on the side, or maybe a part of a group. There's a lot of people that, you know, maybe we've been a part of, you know, the group of angels or the group of shepherds or the group of wise men, right? No lines, not necessarily trusting us with that. But then there's Joseph and there's Mary, they've got a very important lines. Every Christmas play, every nativity scene, every program that depicts this story is always going to have certain characters. Of course, Mary and Joseph will be there. Of course, they will have some wonderful lines. Of course, you're going to have shepherds. Of course, there will be angels. Some of you, maybe a long time ago, have either seen or participated in Christmas plays just like this at Northridge Church. And believe it or not, some of the costumes that you wore are still here on this campus. They're a little, you know, frayed tinsel angel wings downstairs. There's some old, you know, kind of raggedy, fuzzy sheep costumes. Now, if it's a really good Christmas play and it has some extra characters, then you'll have maybe, you know, the wise men, and especially the innkeeper. The innkeeper doesn't make it for all of the plays. But it's a good line, and especially if you've got some kids that you're trying to, you know, give a line to or something, then at least the innkeeper can say, there's no room. The really good ones have sheep and donkeys. And if they're really, really attentive, you might even get a Zachariah and Elizabeth. And I have seen certain Christmas plays where we actually make up characters that didn't even exist. Because there are some who will even have a drummer boy. And it was just, I think it's just important that we acknowledge that as far as we know, we made this up. And I don't know how or why we made this up. It's a kind of a strange thing. I guess, you know, the whole story is that, you know, hey, there's this king has been born, this baby in a manger is God sent to earth. I need to worship him. Wonderful. Come and worship him, little boy. There's only one problem. I can only do it in one way. I don't know how to worship except for one way. I'm going to have to play my drums. You know? Well, I guess maybe that's the point, is that even if there's just one way that you have, one way that you can just, you know, express love and worship and adoration, go for it. You might pick something better than drums for a baby, but whatever. All of those characters maybe make it in a really good Christmas play. But, you know, there's a character, a very prominent character, a very important character, essential, moving through every part of the story with many very important speaking lines that's right there. And this character is hidden in plain sight. And this morning, all I want to do, I'm not trying to, you know, exegete this. I'm not trying to unfold it and unpack it and give us all kinds of life applications and all of that. Really, the mission here is just to show you. I just want to show you one of the most important characters in the whole story that speaks, one of the most important characters that is hidden right there in plain sight. Now, this character is found in Luke 1 and 2. We spent a lot of time there last night and over the past couple of weeks and really all throughout. But in Luke 1 and 2, there are four songs that are sung or spoken. The people who just erupt into certain moments of song. And those songs are all about worship and prayer and blessing. That's what a good song is, you know, that's for God. It's worship, it's prayer, it's blessing. It tells God's story. And this character speaks these songs through other characters. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a hidden character moving throughout the whole story, hidden right there in plain sight. He's not hiding. But we miss him. So what I wanted to do is just show you how he's revealed in these four songs. If you look at the songs of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Simeon, you see Holy Spirit moving throughout each one of these places and times and people and communicating God's story. Well, with Zechariah, I'm sorry, we'll start with Elizabeth. In Luke 1, verse 41, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the baby in her, John, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So when Mary came to the house and she said, "Elizabeth," and as soon as Elizabeth heard that greeting, John in her womb leaps. I don't know how she knew that that's what was happening. I kind of wonder about it. I think it was more than a kick. It was more than a flutter. There was something in there. But she was filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment. And she knew because of what the Holy Spirit was revealing in that moment. She knew that John in her was leaping in response to Jesus in Mary. And she spoke with a loud cry through the Holy Spirit, "Blessed are you among women," just like we just said. And then Mary's response, we know this as the Magnificat. Mary's response. I'm going to read that for you too. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, and in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." A little later on, it came time for Elizabeth to be full term, and she gave birth to John. It's in Luke 1:57. Luke 1:57 is kind of the first time that all of this story, all of the announcements that the angels gave, this is the first time that something became revealed, something actually happened, something became true in it. And John was born, Elizabeth gave birth to a son. And maybe you've heard the story about how Zechariah hadn't been able to speak for a while because he didn't believe the angel when the angel spoke to him. But then the time came, what is the baby's name? His name is John. And Zechariah's lips were opened and he spoke. And the very first words he spoke were, "Praise the Lord." But listen to what's said. In verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in his house, in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him for all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sun shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so then the child grew, became strong in spirit, and the rest of the story as John begins his ministry after having grown up. But there's another song that's here in Luke 1 and 2. It's Simeon's song. We read it last night. Simeon was one of those ones who was actively looking, watching for Messiah. In fact, God had spoken to him about that. Let me read it to you. "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in, the Spirit, into the temple when the parents brought the child to Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And he took him," that's Jesus, "up in his arms and blessed God, saying, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" Do you see how in every one of these songs, in Elizabeth's and Mary's and Zechariah's and Simeon's, each one of them is telling God's story? Each one of them is an expression, an exclamation, a proclamation of worship, of prayer, of blessing. And each one of them is moved by the Holy Spirit to speak these things so that everyone would understand this is who God is. This is what God is doing. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't it amazing? This is what he's been up to this whole time. This is what he's going to accomplish. All of this proclaimed through the Holy Spirit. And he's been there in the story the whole time. I've never seen Holy Spirit in a nativity scene. I don't really know how you do that. I've never seen him in one of the little cookie cutouts or in a Christmas play. But Holy Spirit is there moving the entire time. And of course, it all began that way. The promise to Elizabeth about John in the beginning of Luke 1, talking about John, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That was to Zechariah. And then when Mary asked, "Well, how will this be?" to the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And from then on, as each one sang their song, told God's story, each one was moved by the Holy Spirit to do that, exactly that. Holy Spirit is always telling God's story. The Holy Spirit is always ministering, always speaking, always exalting Jesus, always revealing Jesus. And I just wanted to show you this morning that one of the most important, prominent characters in the entire story, and not just that story, but your story and our church's story, and moving all around his whole church, all around the world today, and ever since he was poured out on the church and on into eternity, and even before then when he would visit upon certain ones and prophets of old, at all times, Holy Spirit has been moving and speaking and exalting and revealing God. He is God. in spirit. He's showing Jesus, revealing Jesus, exalting Jesus. And you and I, if we know Jesus, we share something very, very special in common with Mary. Mary carried the actual presence of Jesus, the Son of God. And because of the Holy Spirit, you and I carry the actual presence of Jesus, the Son of God. What an awesome, breathtaking privilege, honor, joy, ministry he has allowed us to share, carrying the presence of Jesus to a world who needs to see him revealed. One of the things we noticed as we were looking at this story is that as each one of these characters who expressed God's story through prayer, through song, through blessing, all of that was happening through the Holy Spirit, and each of them had to be yielded to him. We're about to go into, as a church family, along with the whole Alliance family, 40 days of prayer. It begins next Sunday on January 1st. And 40 days of prayer, it's a guided daily prayer time that I would like to invite you to participate along with the whole our whole church family, Alliance family. Through those days, we'll be walking through the Lord's Prayer and spending time to understand prayer as worshiped, as partnership in the kingdom, as confession, as petition, many other things. And as we move through those 40 days, we're going to need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to speak through us, that we would partner with him exalting and revealing Jesus, blessing, worshiping, praying through us. This morning, I would like us to begin that by praying together here. And here's how this is going to work. First, just, and this won't take long, but over the next few minutes, first, everybody prays. It'll be quiet. It'll be you and the Lord. He hears your thoughts. He knows your heart. You and the Lord, quiet. And I would encourage you, invite the Holy Spirit to come into to lead you in prayer, to that you would participate with what the Holy Spirit wants to say back to the Lord, echoing his wonder, his beauty, his glory, whatever it is that he wants to say, and participate with the Holy Spirit in prayer. And then all of us, after a few moments of quiet praying in our hearts, in our spirit, together with the Spirit, then after that, I would love to have a few of you just call out a word or two that just exalts Jesus, whatever he puts on your lips to proclaim the goodness of God, or however it is that he leads you. And I'll tell you when that happens. And then after that, if I could have just a couple people just lead out in prayer over our church family, that we would be who he's calling us to be, walk as he's calling us to walk, be filled with the Holy Spirit as a church, be useful to him, or however else the Lord leads you as you do that. So I'll lead us through these next couple of moments here. It won't be difficult, it won't be long, but let's make it count. And let's begin now with quiet time before the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to come and to lead us. Would you pray?